The light was fading. Late on the afternoon of Sunday, February the 4th, 1945, in the Crimean coastal town of Yalta, the three most powerful men in the world, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, and Joseph Stalin, were sitting in the grand ballroom of the LaGuardia Palace, a former summer house of the late Tsar Nicholas II. The Allies in the war against Adolf Hitler's Germany were 3 months and 4 days away from conquering the Third Reich. Imperial Japan would surrender 3 months after that. There were huge questions to be decided about the war's final act and its aftermath. Yet Churchill's circle was horrified by the paralyzed Roosevelt's condition. "He is very thin, and his face is drawn and deeply lined, and he looks weary all the time, and as if he might be in bad pain," British Air Chief Marshal Charles Portal wrote to Pamela Churchill, then Churchill's daughter-in-law. "Also, his brain is obviously not what it was. Altogether, he looks as if Truman might be in for a job of work. But of course it may be nothing serious, though none of us liked the look of it much." It was quite serious. The American president was secretly suffering from congestive heart failure and high blood pressure. The prospect of losing Roosevelt troubled Churchill, who had spent 5 years in a turbulent but intimate alliance with the president. "Our friendship," Churchill told Roosevelt in the early months of 1945, "is the rock on which I build for the future of the world, so long as I am one of the builders." Roosevelt veered between engagement and exhaustion. "He's really absolutely sweet. Very easy to make conversation to, amusing and generally in great form," Kathleen Harriman, the daughter of the American diplomat Averell Harriman, told Pamela in a letter from Yalta. But Roosevelt could not escape the shadows. Writing to Pamela about Roosevelt, Churchill, and Uncle Joe Stalin, Portal said, "I am sure that FDR is completely unable to think hard about anything. He is tremendously perceptive of an atmosphere, and the most wonderful politician, but on these occasions where he meets W and UJ, he is absolutely pathetic. It is such a pity. But I suppose everyone fails in one way or another." Churchill, however, had spent so much time and invested so much of himself in maintaining a connection with the president that he could not quite contemplate life after Roosevelt. Cabling Roosevelt from London as Germany tottered after Yalta, Churchill was nostalgic. "I remember the part our personal relations have played in the advance of the world cause now nearing its first military goal," he wrote, adding that he and his wife, Clementine, were looking forward to seeing the president and Eleanor Roosevelt in England soon. "My thoughts," Churchill said, "are always with you all." But there was nothing he could do. Roosevelt was dying. One of the great friendships in history was coming to an end.